Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking this week about the most asked questions. Probably I shouldn't say the most asked questions, because there are probably at least 20 or 30 questions that get asked over and over and over again. But I have chosen some of those questions to talk about this week. The first one is the guidance of God. This is perhaps the most asked question. For example, I get letters saying, "How did you know that God had called you to the mission field?" Well, how did I know? I didn't have any voices. I didn't have any visions. God didn't give me handwriting on the wall or pillars of fire. I've talked on this subject, I guess, many times on this program, and yet I keep receiving questions. So some of you who haven't heard me talk about this, this may be new for you. Some of you who are up to here with hearing about it, why, of course, you can switch to another channel if you want to today, but I just want to go over the kind of thing that I try to say to people who ask this question. How did you know God had called you to the mission field? I had made a commitment when I was about 12 years old to do whatever God wanted me to do. I think that's crucial. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "I beseech you, brothers, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, an act of spiritual worship." That's the starting point. God is not a genie in a bottle. He's not a magic rabbit's foot that you finger in your pocket and things turn out the way you want them to. God is the sovereign Lord of the universe. If He made that tree out there, those stars up there, that spider spinning his web on my window, that tiny ladybug that crawls on my screen, that precious baby kicking and cooing in the crib, God is certainly capable of handling my life. But it doesn't make sense for me to ask Him to show me what to do unless I'm prepared to do it, unless I've made up my mind that I'll do anything He says. So at about the age of 12, I'm not exactly sure whether it was 12 or 13, I said, "Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept Your will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all utterly to You to be Yours forever. Fill me and seal me with Your Holy Spirit. Use me as You will. Send me where You will, and work out Your whole will in my life at any cost." Those were not the words of a 12-year-old girl. I had found them in the biography of Betty Scott Stamm, a missionary to China, and they had become a part of my life. It said what I really meant to say, what I wanted to say, and what I could not have said as well as Betty Scott Stamm had said. That's where the guidance of God has to begin, with a decision to commit yourself wholeheartedly and unreservedly to Him. Well, then, how did I know He had called me to the mission field? I had wanted to be a missionary ever since I was a little kid. My parents had been missionaries, and I had heard many missionaries speak, and I'd read lots of missionary books. I'd looked at lots of missionary slides, and I loved the idea of being a missionary, just as I also loved the idea of being a nurse, maybe a missionary nurse, then maybe a doctor, maybe a missionary doctor. So I began to pray, not very regularly, I wouldn't say, but off and on, Lord, show me whether you want me to be a missionary. And when I was in college, I really believed that God was zeroing in on my being a missionary, but I still didn't know whether it was going to be the field of medicine or what, and gradually I began to realize God had given me a gift in linguistics. It's not only our circumstances, the fact that I was brought up to think missionaries, but also the gifts that God has given, which should be taken into account when we make these crucial decisions. And then finally, after putting two and two together, two and two being the gift of linguistics that God had given me and the need that I heard about for translators of the Bible, I began to pray very specifically that God would clarify whether or not this was just my human reasoning or whether he himself was directing me. And the Bible does warn us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so it was primarily through scriptures that I believed God clinched this call to the mission field. Now, I need to add that I could have been wrong. I don't look back now and say, I was wrong, I made a mistake. But a sheep is a very foolish, stupid animal. God calls us sheep, and he is the shepherd. So when we rush off the track, he has a rod and a staff to bring us back. I'm comforted by the promise in Isaiah, thou shalt hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And so, in one way or another, God eventually led me to Ecuador. Another crucial question was which field? After all, there were plenty of fields in which Bible translation workers were needed. But I ended up in Ecuador. People ask now, how did you know whom to marry? Again, I had asked the Lord for his will, and I had prayed that God would give me a Christian husband because very clearly the Bible says that it is not God's will for us to marry non-Christians. So God brought a man across my path, and that story you can read in my book called Passion and Purity. There were many steps before the man that I fell in love with in college became my husband. But God does lead us one step at a time, and I'm a great believer that when you take that step of obedience of the one thing that you know God wants you to do, then he will show you the next one. Somebody wrote and said, shall we homeschool? Do you think all Christians ought to homeschool their children? How shall we decide? Well, to the second question, I would say no. I don't think necessarily all Christians should homeschool their children. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I think that it is an option that should be considered perhaps by all Christian parents. My daughter Valerie is homeschooling her children, and maybe you'd like to consider that. Should I go to the Aucas? That was a big question that came up when there seemed to be an opportunity to go in and live with the people who had killed my husband. You can imagine that that was a hard choice to make. How to set priorities? Now, I'm skipping over. These are all questions that come down to the same basic one. How do we find the will of God? How do you know what work God has called you to? How do you know whom to marry? Shall you homeschool? Shall you go here, go there, buy this house, buy that one, take this job, take that one? How to set my priorities? It comes down to prayer. Asking God what he wants you to do. What is your goal? Do you really want to do the will of God? Do you want to know the right way? Well, most of us would say yes to that. We want to know the right way. We don't want to make mistakes. What is the truth of the matter for me right now? It's my life, as the world says. I want to live it well. Well, as a Christian, I take 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So it's not my life, it's his life. I want to do what he wants me to do. In my little book, A Slow and Certain Light, which I want to make very clear is not available in print any longer, I have some things to say on the subject of guidance. That's what the book is about. If you'd like a tape of that, I have read the book on tape. You get several tapes. I've forgotten whether it's three or four tapes, including the whole book of A Slow and Certain Light, and on the other side is my little book, The Liberty of Obedience. So since this book, A Slow and Certain Light, from which I'm going to be quoting in a minute, is out of print, I thought I'd better tell you that you can get it on a tape if you're interested. Let me read a little bit from this. Perhaps my decision affects people I care about. I want things to turn out well for them. Coming to God, we have come to the right place, for we have come to the one who not only can tell us the way, show us the truth, and give us life, but who has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus identifies himself here in one of his great I am statements, and we are reminded of the primary condition of asking for help, the recognition of who God is. He is everything we are asking for. He is the Alpha, for nothing would have begun without him. He is the Omega, for it is in him that everything finds its perfection and fulfillment. These are mysteries which go deeper than we can fathom, but there are simpler terms which may help us. Some time ago, I talked about the Lord's Prayer, those two great petitions, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. The guidance of God will come slowly but certainly if we are prepared to say, Lord, I'll do anything you say, and then prepared to set ourselves to do the next thing. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.